Welcome to another episode of the By His Grace podcast. I am very excited to have my new friend, Leah Archibald, with us today. Hi, Leah. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, Leah, you are a content creator and a podcaster, and you do content development for the Theology of Work project.
So, I sure do.
Yeah. So let's talk about that first. What is the Theology of Work?
Sure. It's, you know, it's a mouthful, isn't it? Right. when you put theology next to anything, everyone's eyes glaze over a little bit. But you know, what theology really means is, you know, how do we read the Bible and apply it to our normal lives? Right. And so the Theology of Work, what we address is how do we read the Bible and apply it to what we do every day in our work lives? So what we have in the Theology of Work projects, we have a Bible commentary that relates every single book of the Bible to the work that Christians do every day. And we give you some tools to help you apply the Bible, which is a very big book, right?
Right.
And the Bible is a very big book, and work is a very big subject. So, you know, a lot of Christians in the workplace, even though they have a lot of faith and they want to apply the Christian faith to their work, don't know really how to start in that. So at the Theology of Work project, which you can find at theologyofwork.org, we have a bunch of different resources that are kind of on ramps into get into studying the Bible and applying it to the work that you do every day, whatever industry you're in, whether you work in marketing or finance or you work at home, you know, which is the hardest work in the world. I know I've done that too. So what I do specifically in my role is I create these resources that are easy for you to get, you know, on your phone or when you're commuting, or you can listen to in your headphones where you listen to your podcast to help you apply the Bible to your work.
That is wonderful. And don't we all need that? Now you do that also through a podcast called Making It Work. Is that right?
I do. Yeah. So the Making It Work podcast comes from the Theology of Work project. We also partner with Fuller Theological Seminary and their Center for Leadership there, which is called the Max DePree Center for Leadership. So, and I apologize for that mouthful, but what we do at the Making It Work podcast on every episode is we have a Christian in the workplace who has faced some difficult issue in their work, like struggling with perfectionism or struggling with procrastination, or, you know, how do I speak up to my boss when something's wrong and I don't know how to handle the situation? So in every episode of the podcast, we have, you know, a faithful Christian who's faced this issue and gotten some resolution of the issue, you know, through reflecting on the Bible. So, you know, we talk about a real issue that folks would face in the workplace. And then we talk about a piece of scripture. How does that relate? How does that help us think about this issue? You know, and we talk about, you know, what this particular person went through and how they came out the other side with God's help. So the podcast is Making It Work. You can find it by searching Making It Work God wherever you get your podcasts. And they're also all available online on makingitworkpodcast.org.
I love that because the Bible is our life instruction book, and we have everything contained in it that we need, but sometimes we just don't know exactly what it is we need or how we can apply it. And so I love the work that you're doing with that podcast and helping people to make sense out of difficult situations in their work.
Well, I, you know, Misty, I'm not good with instruction manuals, I have to say. You know, if I get like a new refrigerator, or, you know, a new oven, and you always get like that big instruction manual that comes with it. And I cannot make, you know, head nor tail of that. I want to know like how to turn on the thing. But when I have a problem with my oven or my refrigerator or my car, more likely, you know, I don't go to the instruction manual. I go to YouTube and I Google, how do I blah, blah, blah. You know, how do I set this thing to 350? And the Bible is an instruction manual, but in the same way that it can be so dense, you know, that for me, I need these little easy on-ramps on how to figure out. I know my answer's in here somewhere, but just help me figure out, you know, how do I get through this tough conversation with my boss?
Yeah. And I think also having people that have gone through it, which is one of the purposes of this podcast, is to help people know that they're not alone in the struggles that they face, and that God is with there, and He is a very real and present help. So with that being said, what I'd love to jump in today with you is the struggle for women. You're a working mom. I'm a working mom. And that looks very different for each of us. But I know that that's a real struggle for many women, is balancing whether they're at home and full time with their children, and trying to balance the workload at home and when they can take a break, or if they're in the office, if they leave their children. There's a lot of ways that that can look, and it can, there can be a lot of issues surrounding that. So I would love for you to share some wisdom with our listeners around that subject today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can share a little bit about my story because, you know, I have wrestled with these issues myself. You know, I originally, before I had kids, I worked in high-tech marketing, you know, and I had what I thought was a very high-powered career. And, you know, after my first son was born, I just felt like it wasn't doing it for me. You know, I hated driving away from him to the office every morning, you know, and I was really rageful actually at that point in my life, just like yelling at God, why do I have to, you know, be going to this job when the only thing that I want is to be home with my kiddo? And I eventually left that job, you know, so I could spend more time at home. And I had a second one, and let me tell you, you know, my job in the office was so easy compared to the job of being home with two little kids. Weren't there days that I just missed my quiet cubicle, you know? And what I realized when I was home with my kids, which by the way, I loved, and I'm so grateful to God for that opportunity of being able to be home with them, is that's not a panacea either. You know, there's no perfect job for me. I mean, there's no perfect job for any woman, you know, whether it's full-time in the office or full-time at home or split between the two. There's really no, you know, this side of paradise, there's no perfect situation. There's always like this pull, like, oh, I could be, I'm here, but I wish I were somewhere else. I wish I could be in both places. I could be doing more. You know, and after my third son was born, I went to work part-time. I split half-time in the office and half-time with my kiddos. And then he got a little older. My third son got a little older. I went back full-time. But this is what I learned in all of that, you know. And someone doesn't, you know, have to follow me on my journey, just like I'm a little peg in the game of life going around the board game, right? You know, all the changes that I've made in my career. But what I really learned is that the calling that God has on my life is the same, whether I'm at home or in the office or 50-50. You know, the calling that God has for me is to follow Christ in my attitudes and my actions wherever I am. You know, whatever the task that sets out before me that day, my calling is to follow God. And beyond that, you know, where I follow God is my secondary calling. You know, we could break it into primary and secondary. My primary calling is, you know, Jesus said, follow me. It's like, okay, where, you know,
and that looks different in different seasons. You know, I have found that in my own motherhood and a wife and single years. And, you know, there's a time and a season for everything, the word says. And I think that definitely applies to our lives as well.
And, you know, and we have to wrestle it with, we're just in an interesting time in history where women have to wrestle with that question a lot more than we've had to at any other time in history. You know, if we think back to biblical times, to Old Testament life in Judea, there was really this wholeness of life where the economic production, you know, and the household responsibilities happened in the same place. You know, if we think of the woman in Proverbs 31, and I hate to bring up Proverbs 31 because it can also be used like as a club to beat women over the heads over with, like, you're not doing enough, you're not doing enough. I don't mean like that. But if we look at her household, the woman in Proverbs 31, she worked in the marketplace. She created goods to sell in the marketplace. She managed employees, you know, field employees and household employees. And she raised children. And this all happened in one integrated life in one location, because that was how the household worked in ancient Judea. The elements of family life and of economic production, you know, happened in the same place. You know, and since that time, these things have really been separated for us. You know, and for modern women, we have the elements of raising a family and raising children that are located in our house. And then we have the elements of economic production where we have to go physically somewhere else often, unless you have a great work from home gig, which, you know, in that case, God bless, you're living the dream. But for many of us, you know, there are these separate locations, and that creates this kind of, you know, bifurcated schizophrenic mindset in the minds of many women. Like, I wish I were here, but I'm actually there. I'm here, but I wish I were there. You know, I can't be home enough. I can't be at the office enough. I can't be all things to all people. So I just have to pray constantly, like, God, you be in it with me, you know, because if I can't be all things to all people, I can only be at one place in one time. And, God has got to help me in my modern context, just as much as he helped that woman in Proverbs 31 manage everything from the same place.
Yeah. You know, what I take away from that Proverbs 31 passage is that she was intentional. You know, her household didn't have to worry because she was diligent in what she did. And that is going to look different for each of us, because God calls us to different things, and that's okay. But I think that wherever we work, I want to go back to what you said, because it's all about serving Christ no matter where we are, following him, loving him, loving others, whether we're in the home, the office, or a combination of those. But I'd love to know some practical ways that have helped you to build a work-life balance.
Yes, I need practical ways, Misty. I really, really do. Because my head can run off in a million different directions. So, you know, the most practical thing that I do to build work-life balance is I have times in my day where I shut off my phone. And I know it sounds so simple, and probably your listeners are rolling their eyes at me, but I, you know, can have a tendency to bring my work home, bring my work into all moments of my life, especially if I have a project I'm interested in. So I have to make it a practice of, when I sit at the dinner table, the phone is somewhere else. And not only that, you know, but it's put on silent. So there's no, you know, phone calls that can be interrupting me when I have the dinner hour. You know, when I'm putting my kids to bed, when I'm doing something special with my children, like reading them a story or really trying to be intentional about paying attention to them. Those are times that the phone goes off, you know, and I can single task on them. And then we have other moments in our lives where the devices are on. You know, it's really sweet to me when I can be sitting on the couch and, you know, and working on something for work, and I have a kid cuddling up to me, or a kid, you know, looking at something that he's looking at. And it's very sweet to spend time together when we're not totally focused on each other. But it's also important for me to have that intentional time that says to them, hey, I'm paying attention to you. And that also says to me, hey, I'm paying attention to this. Because so much of the, I don't know if I like to use the term work-life balance as much as I like to use the term work-life boundaries. Mm. And I need to set some boundaries around the things that I care about. So not so they're contained and nothing gets in, but, you know, so I have room to focus on the things that I'm focusing on when I'm focusing on them.
I love that. You know, I found that same principle in my own life with my work, because a lot of the work that I do as a Christian communicator, a lot of that work is online. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of things through social media, and that in itself can take over and become a hamster wheel if you allow it. And so I've had to create boundaries and be intentional with my time. And I have grown, growing teenage children and above. And so what I want to do, and it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing also for your children, is you're modeling. There is a time for work, but then there is a time when we put our devices away and we're going to be intentional in the moment about spending that quality time with one another.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting? So many people will use social media and say, oh, social media is the problem, or make social media like the demon, like trying to steal our time away from the people who are in front of us. And I don't think it's that at all. I think social media is another way that we maintain relationships. And, I try to think of my boundaries in terms of how many relationships am I trying to focus on, in this given moment, because all relationships are good. It's just I don't have the bandwidth to focus on a million of them at the same time. So over social media, there are many relationships that I can maintain. But I try to think of if I was having a party at my house, and there are 50 people or 100 people at this party, how many conversations could I, maintain at one time? How many people could I be standing around having a conversation with? Maybe there could be like two people, maybe there could be five people having a whole conversation together. So I try to think about that when I'm at home with my kids, because there are five people in my family. That's enough,
Yeah.
That's enough to try to focus on. And often we can't focus on one conversation. I was like, can you be quiet? Your brother's talking. But I try to, instead of thinking, is it my work versus my family? It's sometimes it's helpful to me to think, how many relationships am I trying to maintain at one time? Am I trying to, as I'm thinking about my relationship with my son, am I also thinking about my boss, what he needs from me this week? Am I also thinking about, some followers on social media who have asked me to weigh in on something that's deathly important? So I try to think of all these relationships are important and they're all good. They're all good relationships, but how many can I pay attention to today? And maybe some of them have to go in the pot for tomorrow. Maybe some of them have to go in the pot for next week or next month, or I'm deprioritizing those relationships. I think that's helpful rather than saying, oh, I got to get off social media. It's so awful. It's stealing burning my brain cells or whatever it is. I think it's so helpful for me to think of it in terms of, relationships, what relationships are important to me today.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful way to communicate with people who are not close to you. It's a great way for me to know what my friends across the country are doing. So I love that. And you can encourage one another. So it can definitely be used for good. And I think we just need to figure out what those boundaries are for ourselves. I'd love to ask you, do you have, you work with theology and you're studying scripture and you're applying it to work and you're doing all of these things, but is there one particular scripture that is your life verse? I always like to find out what is the one verse that people really cling to.
Yeah. If I'm going to give something away and then someone's going to hack into my computer, because there's one verse that I use for all my passwords. but when I read the, years ago, I read the Bible cover to cover. I did like a year long plan. And the one thing that stood out to me, and I'm sure it's everyone's favorite, is, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future.
Okay.
And I have always clung to that verse because, in my very limited conception of what's good for me and what, I really don't have plans past the next, past the next few months, past the next few years, maybe sometimes past the next 5 minutes. I don't know what I'm doing. But my plans can go off into all crazy kind of directions. And I don't know if they're good for me. And two, as soon as I get attached to my plans, I get attached to all the worry that comes with what if my plans don't go according to my plans. And so I feel so encouraged to know that God knows the plans for me. And maybe he's not going to tell me, thank you, God, if he doesn't. Because if he tells me, I'll go running way past.
Right.
And running way past the direction, running in the direction I think he has me going, but way past, the benchmark where he wants me to end up. So I am so grateful that, God knows his plans and I'm not in charge, because I could not have possibly predicted just in the realm of career, which is, you know, what we're talking about today. You know, when I came into the workforce, you know, I thought I was going to be like this megastar marketer at this corporation I was going to, and I was going to take charge of everything. And I was going to be flying into California one week and flying to Japan the next week. You know, in my mind, I took a lot more airline flights than I actually care to in reality. And, you know, when that actually became my life, I said, "Ooh, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. This is not really serving me. You know, this is, I'm exhausted. I don't get to spend time with my family, you know." And then my plan was, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. That's all I'm going to focus on because it's the most important thing. That's all I'm going to care about. And you know, Misty, I was so bored. You know, I hate to say that, but you know, during the years that I was home with my kids, there was a part of my, you know, intellectual life that was not at all fulfilled. I was really just dragging at home, you know, very, very involved in the physical labor of it and the emotional labor of it. But, you know, intellectually, I was really stymied. And so, you know, thank you, God, that He had plans for me that weren't, you know, all the way in one direction or all the way in the other direction. But being able, now I have some balance in my life where, you know, sometimes I'm home and sometimes I work. But bringing it back to the verse, you know, my plans for myself will always be, you know, way far in one direction. And God's plans for me involve a lot more balance than I'm capable of generating myself.
Yeah, I often say God only gives me the light to take the next step, because mm-hmm. if I would see the whole plan, it might scare me, or I might be afraid, or I might run past Him. But I love that verse in Jeremiah also, because it reminds me that even when my circumstances don't turn out the way I think they should, that God is still at work and that His plan is good for me. And I think that that's a great thing that we can apply, because life doesn't always turn out the way that we want it to, and things happen that we would not choose. But even in that, God is good and He's got a good plan for our lives. So thank you so much for joining us today on the By His Grace podcast. We're going to drop the links to the Theology of Work project and to your podcast. And where should people follow you on social media?
You know, I would love it if folks could take a listen to the podcast, which is available at makingitworkpodcast.org. And you can search for Making It Work God wherever you get your podcasts. And that's the best place to catch me in conversations with other folks like yourself facing hard workplace issues.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Leah. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.